Certainly is. Very good morning. If you are just joining us, welcome everybody. Happy Monday.
And it is the true freedom day for any parents of school-aged children, especially if you've got a range of school-aged children, when they're all out of the house till 3:30. That's proper freedom. Oh. That's midday drinking. That is.
Sober up by 2:30.
That is. No, what else that is, yep, the tradie, yep, you can come in for biscuits and coffee.
The tradie.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So you say that what tradies. Mothers are looking forward to is welcoming in a tradie to have bickies and coffee with, as opposed to just not having to look after children.
Without prying eyes, you go, Mum, what's happening in there? Mum, why can't I come in? Mum, how long does it take to fix a bedside light? Why is the tradie nude? Why does he have to work nude, Mum? Mm-hmm.
Good.
Oh, sweet. Jesus, that really escalated.
Hey, it's a big show.
Oh, yeah.
What do we do when we come back? Well, some music.
I've got to give us a buffer. Luke and Josh from the block are coming up because they shockingly don't know how to build a house any sort of standard.
No, they
at all.
They don't, Ed. Why are they on the block?
Oh, that's a great question.
There's some claims. There's some claims that their house is going to be taken off them. You know?
Yeah.
So, there's some claims that after the auction happens, they're going to have to pay the money back.
Yes, they're going to owe money. They'll work on it.
There's a chance that house is going to go for less than land value.
But the big showbiz story, shocking showbiz story, Alec Baldwin and what took place on the set of his movie.
Yeah, no,
unbelievable.
Terrible.
The Today FM morning crew. Husey, Ed and Aaron.
We are looking for people who are under the age of 35. I don't think...
I was going to say, I can't actually hear them. Hello, gents?
We're on?
Yes, yes, we are. Absolutely, yes. We're on the radio, everybody. But we are looking for people to call us on 13 10 60.
Yes.
If you are under 35.
Do you want the official definition?
Yes,
yeah, we're talking millennial.
Mm. Okay. So millennials are born 1977 to 1994.
Yeah, right.
And then there's Generation Z, so born 1995 to 2012.
But there's different, because I've got millennials born from 81 to 96.
What?
So, well, that's what it says here, mate. Defined as being born, millennial generation typically defined as being born between 1981 and 1996. All right, so I reckon we're asking for here, if do you want a voucher to Gammy Chicken and Beer, it's worth $100.
Yes.
You have to be born after 1980. All right, so
yeah, all right, there you go.
So that is our parameter. You have to be born after 1980. If you call us right now, and no one has right now, so you can win a voucher, $100 voucher to Gammy Chicken and Beer. Wow. It's a party. You've got to be born after 1980.
Well, maybe we're learning something.
13, 10, 60.
Which we thought.
Get on the line. 13, 10, 60, get on the line. Now, we're asking this question because of what happened to... Alec Baldwin's cinematographer on his new movie, Rust.
Yes.
Is that going to continue that movie?
No. Goodness, no. No. That's now a crime scene. That
is the movie over?
Oh, 100%. That will be in court for a long time.
That's interesting. And because Baldwin's also the executive producer of the movie, that's another complex element, absolutely, for everything that happens on set. So
if you don't know Alec Baldwin, on set, he shoots a gun. He believes it's got blanks in it. He shoots it. The cinematographer who's behind the camera at this point, Ed, you've done movies.
So what they were doing is they're setting up a rehearsal. So the idea was that he was backing out of a church. He's playing, it's like set in 1870. So he's got an old style sort of Smith & Wesson pistol, the ones that people are familiar with in Westerns. And in the rehearsal, the idea is that he's backing away in this church. And as he's backing out, he's shooting. So in order for the eye lines to work, they're crouched behind the camera. So it's very, very close. So it looks like it's up close to when he's backing out, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what's happened is, with blanks aren't nothing. Blanks are a cartridge and there can be gunpowder, there can be residue, there can be, shockingly on this film set, it seems as though live ammunition had been being used. They were taking these guns allegedly after shooting and doing shooting in terms of shooting the film and doing target practice with live rounds.
Yeah, right.
Like just mucking around with the guns. So it sounds, if it's true, it's shocking. I've shot one live round on a set And that was a rifle that I had to shoot a clay pigeon with.
Oh, yeah,
on the Amazon thing. And I've been in other productions where there's been guns with blanks on them.
Yeah.
And I remember with the live round, the safety was everyone cleared away. I was shooting into the air, like into absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so it was safe.
Over and over, the armorer would check. Then another person would come and check the armorer's work. Then the armorer would check the work again. Check, check, check. So everyone would disappear.
Yeah. So the armorer is the person in charge of the weapons. Yes. And there's claims on this movie that there was text messages sent by a crew, and some crew left the shoot early, saying this shoot isn't safe.
No,
the procedures aren't being followed. This is dangerous. So those text messages apparently exist, and then the
phrase "cold gun" is used to mean that the gun that's being handed to an actor or to someone on set is either not loaded or has a blank in it. Well, not loaded meaning it has a blank or a cold gun, that means. So it's a cold gun, which means you can pick it up, and if you have to, you can try it. And so, tragically, it's not the case.
Well, the person in charge of every weapon on this set was a 24-year-old woman who is big on Instagram.
You're kidding.
Who this is from a podcast, a weeks-old podcast, her talking about, you know, the opportunity to work on these shows and be in charge. This is what she had to say.
I think loading blanks was like the scariest thing to me because I was like, oh, I don't know anything about it. You know, I was really nervous about it at first, and I almost didn't take the job because I wasn't sure if I was ready.
Yeah, well, she was probably right to be nervous.
Jesus, that is terrifying.
Sometimes you got to feel the fear and not do it anyway.
Yeah, but you know, there's certain industries where you kind of, I'm always giving the advice, go for it. Even if you don't feel ready, go for it. What's the worst that could happen? There are certain things, like if you're a surgeon or other areas, where if you just don't feel ready, you shouldn't do it.
I don't think I've ever met a 24-year-old armourer. And I'm sorry if I'm disrespecting 24-year-old armourers, but I don't know how I feel about it.
We are going to speak to some young people when we come back and find out what jobs they do.
Okay.
Sydney's
new 104.1 Today FM.
We want to talk to young people. Millennials were calling them. I had no idea the millennial now could be 35. I had no idea.
Well, I'm a millennial. I'm 38.
I don't know if you are. Yeah, you are. No, you are.
No, I am. You are. Yeah, no, I am.
No, you are. See, I wouldn't have thought you were a millennial.
Why not?
I just imagine a millennial 20. That's just what I imagine. I mean, you look like you're 20. Don't get me wrong.
There you go.
You're basically 20. You're very young.
Generation Z is the one you're looking for, which is after millennials. And they call, you know, they call baby boomers. They call them zoomers.
Oh, yeah, a zoomer.
Yeah.
All right. So we are looking for young people, and Erin is young. So she could have rung
about me. Don't worry about it.
Could have rung your friends.
Not all of them.
You know, no.
Some of my friends are old, yeah.
Well, what about Melissa
older.
From
older. Melissa? Don't use the term old here.
Well, what about Melissa from North Manly? Melissa, you are officially 27, I believe.
Yes, I am. 28 in December.
Oh, yeah, and you've got an accent there. It sounds like you are from America initially, or originally. Is that right?
Canada?
I'm Canadian.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I have trouble.
And we've done that game before.
Oh, no, yeah. I don't hear
We should do it again.
Yeah, it's play a game, the accent
because
game.
Because you can go Canadian, American, or the European countries.
Yes, absolutely. All of them, yeah.
Asian countries, we could do
certainly
that as
can
well.
Do that as well, yeah. Anywhere you like. But Canadian Melissa, 27 years old, and with a lot of responsibility. What is your job?
So I work as a nanny right now with two children, aged 5 and 7.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Now, we're talking generations here, Melissa. Are you someone who, first day on the job, I know what I'm doing, don't tell me what to do, I've got this, you're old, you've got no idea. Is that your attitude to life?
No, I'm definitely open to new ways of doing things, but in my field of work, I have a lot of experience in it, so I do have a good knowledge base of what
See, I want
doing.
That, though. She's been doing it since she was 21. That's what I want.
I'm hearing issues there. Oh, I love you, Melissa, but, I mean, if I said you're the armourer for a TV production, would you just say, yep, I've got this straight away, or would you do all you could to make sure things were safe?
I would do what I could to make it safe, but I grew up around guns, so I do know a decent bit about gun safety.
Yeah. Wow.
She's got nothing she can't do. There's nothing Melissa from North Manly can't
do. She'd say, get out of my way. I'm in charge.
You've never done nothing. Leroy from Borkham Hills. Leroy, how old are you? Oh, here he is. How old are you, young man?
28.
Yeah, and what do you do for a job?
The electrician.
Yeah. See, this is now that's responsibility.
It's a dangerous, dangerous job. So
sure is.
First day one, where you knew what was going on, you didn't need to be told anything?
No, I had no idea. I had to ask questions because, you know, you can't smell it, can't see it. You just get shocked and that's the end of you.
Oh, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, can't
smell it, can't see it.
My brother-in-law is a linesman. Yeah.
Same thing?
Well, it's electricity and, yeah.
I thought you meant like at the Australian Open. I was like, dangerous.
Well, dangerous. Now, Gammy Chicken, $100 for the, thank you guys. Now, when we come back, we're going to speak.
I want to talk to Lira for one a little bit more.
Well, because we've got an armourer. And the producers are wavering at me because we're going to come back with an armourer. Okay?
All right, great. Thank you. Yeah.
You and Leroy can chat off air.
Goosey, Ed and Aaron, 104.1 Today FM.
Yeah, tragic incident where the cinematographer was shot and killed by Alec Baldwin. When he apparently was told the prop gun that he was holding was cold, which means it's not. Well, we need to talk to an expert about this, don't we? Yes.
Well, professional armourer from all the way from Crocodile Dundee through The Matrix, Thin Red Line, Hacksaw Ridge. He has quite literally done everything over the last 40 years. We're very lucky to have him with us this morning. John Bowring. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for talking to us.
Now, mate, looking at your IMDb, you have been involved in almost every major production this country's ever produced, especially when there's weapons involved. There's a little bit from Hacksaw Ridge, which was a Mel Gibson movie, a great movie done a couple of years ago. This is a little bit from that. That was a war movie involving the discharging of thousands of weapons.
Well, it's a hard question, but John, you were supervising armourer on Hacksaw Ridge. So how many, roughly, do you remember how many weapons were on a film like that?
We can have anything up to about 600. On Hacksaw Ridge, it was a little less than that. It was about 400.
Goodness me.
So, yes, it takes quite a lot of management.
But since you've been doing it since the 80s, since Crocodile Dundee, so you've been in charge of...
John was responsible for the famous knife. That's not a knife, this is a knife. John, you would have been the one handing that knife to Mr. Dundee.
Yeah, I'm the one who designed and made it.
Wow.
So, mate, when you see a story like this, are you shocked that this could happen?
I'm horrified. I immediately think about the stress that everyone involved has gone through and is going through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you see how it can happen, though, or from your point of view?
I can see how accidents happen. This one seems to be peculiar in the fact that it appears to have been a live round. Now, that's not necessarily the case. We haven't got enough information, but to go through one person and hit another person, it would almost certainly have to be a full-size projectile.
John, can you talk us through, most of us have never been on a movie set, when it comes to, so say you were preparing for that scene, what do you have to do? What's your job in that? Just take us through kind of step by step.
Well, the job is very much more complex than people think. It would start back advising what was correct weapons for the scenes and talking about what scenes required what sort of effect, as in what sort of look, and then possibly modifying weapons, making special blanks, going through. The day-to-day side of things is you bring the weapons, you secure the weapons, you're controlling the weapons and you're licensed to have the weapons. So you bring the weapons to set. You check them, of course, before you bring them to set. You bring the weapons that you need for that particular scene to that scene. And then you would demonstrate that they are clear. In Australia, we have safety officers who the armourer will work with, demonstrate they're clear to the safety officer, and then demonstrate they're clear to the first assistant. The first assistant is the person who, that's first assistant director, is the person who's running the set. The director is overall getting what they want, but the first assistant is the one who's communicating with the technicians.
So there's a lot of different kind of boxes that need to be ticked. There's a lot of different, Ed said this earlier, a lot of different people involved in checking that every safety protocol is being followed.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, before you've got on set, you've gone and you've assessed the actor's capabilities with the firearm. You've gone through training with them to make sure that they look the part, that they understand the correct procedure. And of course, firearms handling changes with time. So someone doesn't handle something in a Wild West film like they do in a modern war film. The weapons handling styles are different. So you would train them to them, and you would train them about the on-set safety. So, you know, when cut is called at the end of the scene, how they are to hold the firearm, what they are to do with it in case it is still loaded or something like that. So you go through those procedures with them. And then when it comes to firing, the first AD will say, you know, we're ready to fire. You then assess whether everyone is actually ready to fire. There isn't someone from makeup still checking the actor's makeup. There isn't someone wandering somewhere where they shouldn't be. And again, this is where the safety officer is quite important, because you get the safety officer and the ADs to make sure that people stay in their correct places and they aren't going to walk in front of the firearm while it's being used.
Now, John, there's so much. On this one, can I just say, from afar, to you it looks like a live round is in a gun where people thought, or Alec Baldwin would have thought, and the cinematographer would have thought it was a blank. That's what it looks like from a distance?
They may not have even thought it was loaded. Because it was a rehearsal. Now, yes, you do fire blanks in rehearsal so that everyone knows and everyone can see. But when you do that, you do it with the same safety precautions that you would if you were firing in the actual scene. So it's a perfect mimic of the scene. This firearm has obviously been pointed at the director and the DOP when it was discharged. Well, we would not do that.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't do that.
An Australian film.
No, you would never do that in an Australian film.
You may do it. Not so much the director, the DOP may be behind camera. You may be firing a blank towards camera, but you would have a series of safety precautions. And I would indicate to the DOP it was a blank before I loaded it into the firearm. As soon as there is someone in line with firing, your level of safety precautions have to go right through the roof.
Yeah.
Not that they aren't taken at all times, but you double check everything to make sure it's right.
Cost cutting, John, there's a little bit of talk around that could potentially have contributed here. Is that something you're seeing more and more in the industry?
That's without doubt a contributing factor. And that comes in on a whole pile of levels. In this case, it looks like everyone's been working far too many hours. Yeah. That's a cost-cutting thing. They're stressed. They're tired. They're probably not hired the best armourer they could get. I know her father. I don't know her.
24, no experience. Yeah.
And we're getting that same thing here.
Yeah.
I will say that we've got a situation in Australia where there is actually no qualification for being a theatrical armourer. I was a gunsmith, and that's how I ended up in the industry. The industry came looking for me to build and modify weapons and supply weapons. And it was much more wild and woolly when I got into the industry. We were using weapons handed by the standby props.
Yeah,
have a look at this.
It's a wake-up call is what it is.
Yes. Well, I hope so, and that's why we're happy you're speaking to us. But I tell you what, look at this list of credits, literally from Crocodile Dundee. We're lucky to have one of the best in the business right here in Sydney. John, pleasure speaking to you this morning. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Sydney's new 104.1 Today FM.
Yeah, listen to us and you end up on TV or in film.
Friday, we spoke to Chrissy Barrow, talent coordinator from Animal Extras Talent Agency, looking for a dog that could hump on cue for a commercial that was being shot today. We had a number of auditions on the phone. Ronan from Penrith told us about his dog, Teddy.
What will the Shamoodle hump?
Just about anything. Toys,
the couch, the air.
Oh, the couch. An air humper.
He's not like about other dogs, but he just humps everything else.
Yeah. An air humper's good, though, isn't it?
Like an air humper, yeah. Because you can CGI whatever you like
underneath Teddy.
Well, guess what? Ronan got in touch, and Teddy the Schmoodle. Ronan, what is Teddy the Schmoodle doing at 8:15 this morning?
He's going to be humping.
Is he nervous? You sense tension, or have you kept him relaxed?
Yeah, so we try to keep him relaxed and try and not hump over the weekend. So hopefully today there should be plenty of humping.
So he's ready to go. So he's full of hump.
So there's other dogs there humping today as well, right? So Teddy's one of, say, six.
Yeah, I believe so.
So is Teddy a bit of a side-eye dog? Is Teddy going to know they're his direct competition?
Probably not. He'll probably see humans and be more interested in them than other dogs.
I'm worried about the waiting room, though. Really, it's like The Bachelorette. You know? It's all going to happen in the house without The Bachelorette even getting involved. So, is there hoses in the waiting room? Are we keeping the dogs apart?
I think they're going to keep the dogs apart, but my partner's taking him, so I won't be able to see all the action happen, unfortunately.
So what they're doing, Ronan, I believe, is that they're sort of just having it set up, because you do the dog first in the aid because it's the hardest bit to get.
Wow.
So each dog's coming in, and if they can hump on cue, then you'll get paid anyway. But if Teddy performs, then he'll win the role by doing the humping. How is your partner going to entice Teddy to do the humping?
Hopefully get up on him, his little caterpillar toy. He loves that. He pulls it down to him and just taking that. So hopefully that'll be the winner.
Have you brought any doggy ecstasy or anything like that?
Viagra, do you mean?
I thought about it on Friday.
Google that. Hey, Ronan, we got to check back in, man. Godspeed. I hope that caterpillar's looking sexy once the cameras go on, okay? Good luck.
Yeah, sounds good. Cheers,
Mickey. You're a champion.
There we go. It's Husey Ed and Aaron.
Get up with the Today FM morning crew. Husey, Ed and Aaron.
More drama than any other series of the block, and people are into it. It's turned into Married at First Sight, basically, and they're lapping it up. But what if you're on the inside and you're getting absolutely slandered by the judges?
Lowest scores.
Can we hear it one more time? Before we speak to Josh and Luke, let's hear what they said.
I'd say that is appalling.
I'd say that is horrendous.
Oh, holy hell. There's two words for this, and one of them is cluster.
And with one of the lowest scores in block history, Josh and Luke came last with 8 points.
We're pissed off.
I have nothing to say to them. Completely disrespectful, and they can get...
Ooh, wowzers.
Now, Josh and Luke, did you think about just walking straight off set and just driving away in whatever cars you've got and never being involved again in the block after that?
it probably crossed my mind for a split second, but then that just goes right out the window at the end of the day. We've been good whipping boys for them, haven't we?
Well, there's whipping boys, but seeing the vision last night, and if people didn't see it, why was there stuff stacked up? I mean, I've lived in share houses that look better than this. It didn't look great.
Well, it is a job site at the end of the day.
It is a job site. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Were you stitched up by the edit, Josh? Were you stitched up by the edit or what?
Oh, no, mate. Like, the place was really a tip. we really did that show, and it became such a big job. It got scary. It was like, oh, you know, might have to start tackling that one tomorrow. But at the end of the day, those areas were not getting judged. So, you know, they should have just minded their own business.
Yeah, I see.
Why can't you have your mum with you? Why can't your mum come to the block so your mum can just clean everything up?
It's not a bad idea.
Well, that's what happens next week.
Oh, is that next week?
Well, mum turns on town.
Oh, that's fantastic. Luke, I've got to play a little bit more, Luke. Have a listen. This is you guys having a go at Neil Whittaker.
Neil wants to try to complete 4 areas in a week. I'll give him the brush and we'll see how he goes. He can come and paint. I'd love to watch him paint. So until that day, he can shut up.
Yeah.
He can shut up.
He can shut up.
Tell your judge to shut up.
Well, he can. And, you know, I stick by those comments. I'd love to watch the judges try and build a house in 12 weeks. It would be great to watch them struggle. You know, who wouldn't want to see Neil Whittaker paint a room, you know, in a week? So I think it would be pretty funny. But he did send me a peace offering a couple of weeks ago. He sent me some towels, actually. So I think he's trying to suck up to me now.
Some towels.
So can I just obviously the judges are very experienced in this kind of format and space. Did it cross both of your minds to maybe take on board what they were saying and, as you know, constructive criticism and maybe improve your ways?
Well, yes and no. Like, after a good spanking, sometimes, you know, you put your back against the wall and go, oh, screw you. But, you know, after we have a night's rest, we kind of wake up and go, okay, actually, we probably need to do that. We probably need to change that. But we won't give them a rap.
We don't want to admit it to them. We won't admit it to them.
What about the fact you've put a bedroom nowhere near a toilet? One of your bedrooms is like a 3-kilometre walk from a toilet. What do you say to that?
Well, we were trying to figure it all out. And at the end, we do come up with a solution in the last week. And it's a hectic last week.
A solution. You're putting a portable in the room. Is there a portable toilet going in there?
Mate, it comes down from the ceiling. You just press a button and it just drops straight down from the ceiling.
That's pretty classy,
man. Hey, you mentioned your mum potentially maybe coming onto the block. Is one of you about to, well, this is weird, make a woman a mum?
Nice.
Yes, that is me, Luke. Yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, my fiance, she's 17 weeks pregnant. So I think this is the first time me saying this on the radio to the public.
Wow.
Congratulations, mate. Now, congratulations.
The questions have to be asked. You were on Love Island last series, yeah? Not this series.
Mm. Yeah.
Is this a whirlwind or was she in the wings while you were on Love Island?
I dated her for 2 years before Love Island and then we broke up for about a year.
So we didn't
date for a year, and then shortly after Love Island, you know, after I realised, you know, there was nothing great for me on Love Island, and you know, I didn't
realise that life was empty. The vacuous life of Instagram models wasn't going to create happiness for you.
Not the Instagram models, only fan models. Just, it wasn't up my alley.
Well, let's just not bag the only fan models. They've got a lot to offer. Josh and Luke, the block, you guys are killing it. I think you're going to win. Also, don't you worry about that.
Oh yeah, here we go.
But before you go, mate, we could be looking for a buyer. And we're sure have a lazy 3 mil lying in the bank. Would you be keen to fly down, have a look?
Look, I will. You know, I'll get my people onto it.
Yeah.
Land value
on,
alone,
we'll
honestly.
Take you for a walk through. Come on.
Take you for a walk through. I might just demolish the joint and start again.
It's just yet now.
The new 104.1 Today FM.
Gwen Stefani asked the question.
Long before shopping. Before COVID shopping.
Correct.
Long before the COVID shopping era, there was online shopping. Mm. And, I mean, Aaron's huge into it.
Mm-hmm. Huge is probably an exaggeration, but I do it from time to time. I get sent a lot of gifts, by the way, so it's not all stuff I've bought. It's relatable content, yeah.
Well, Ed, your wife is massively into it.
Oh, no. Every time the doorbell goes, and she runs to grab it before I see it and go, what's that? How much was it? So
on that subject yesterday or the other day, my wife said, there was two parcels and she said, is that it? Is that it for the day?
Yeah.
That's not enough of a bounty, apparently.
I actually don't even look. I know it's not for me.
Yeah.
Why even look? All I do is carry them.
Can you carry that?
No.
The doorbell, do they throw it over the fence? Ours get handed over the fence. It's like,
because you've got dogs that bite.
Mm. Oh, they bark more than they bite.
Well, that's enough. But everybody's waiting. Have a listen to this.
The delivery of thousands of parcels could be delayed today as FedEx workers hold a national 24-hour strike.
Boom, then this. Star Trek got involved.
It's the second strike of transport workers in days, with Star Trek drivers walking off the job last week.
Well, who's waiting for what? Christmas is coming. That's what my wife keeps saying. Oh, I'm doing Christmas early, so it gets here.
So they're not getting paid enough, though, are they?
It's a hard debate to get into when you don't really understand all the terms and conditions, et cetera.
Well, how much do they get? Well, are they paid per delivery?
No idea.
No.
Some are,
if it's like a DoorDash or something, like one of those ones, they're paid per delivery, but the others aren't. They'd be on, I guess, full-time contract.
No, I think a lot of this, and I stand to be corrected, I think a lot of this has become what's the economy when it's like the...
0-hour contracts? The gig economy.
The gig economy. Yes. I think the gig economy is taking over in that space as well.
Do you think, though, for like Australia Post, FedEx, those guys, I would
Australia Post.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Now, Sammy from Maroubra, how long have you been waiting and what is it?
So I just checked again. I've been waiting since the end of July and I've been waiting on a kettlebell. which has kind of defeated the whole purpose of my whole
gym's open now.
Gym set up.
How heavy?
It is 8 kilos, so I don't know if it's too heavy for them. They've just kind of given up.
It would cost a fair bit. What was the postage meant to be? Because I imagine that would have been a fair bit. Do you know how much it was meant to cost you to get it delivered?
I think the postage was actually more than the kettlebell.
I know. Of course it was.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Thank you, Sammy. Yes, absolutely right.
It's funny that she says that because my mother-in-law was at our house yesterday and picked up one of the weights that happened to be sitting in the backyard and said, I need one of these. And I said, well, take it because no one has lifted that. it's good. Getting on the weights is great for women. Absolutely. Go for it.
Yeah, real talk.
Thank you so much for your permission again for women to lift weight.
No, I'm saying that you want to keep your bones strong, you need to lift.
Chris from Epping, how long have you been waiting and what is it?
I've been waiting for about 4 weeks now from an order from Target of underwear, socks, shirts and pants for my kids.
Kids stuff, kids clothing. Yeah, long time. Kids stuff, long wait.
Yeah, and they've run out, have they? They're like, they'll be struggling because they grow out of stuff, don't they?
My son's.
That's exactly right. We actually did a trip up to Target just to pick up socks and jocks because it was quicker than waiting for them to ship them out to us.
Yeah, so they'll be run out. They'll be too small when they get there.
I don't know. It's hard to, I don't know what to say about
that. You just got to. Tony from Manly.
No,
here he is. Tony, what have you been waiting for?
Yeah, hey, guys. I've been waiting for some sporting gear that I ordered back on September 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Where from, mate? Overseas or where from?
No, mate. Local, just south of the bridge, actually.
What is it?
I bought sporting clothing, some shorts, runners, and a mountain bike helmet. Be honest, it would have been faster for me to cross the bridge during COVID and purchase them.
Walk there.
No, I think that's a lesson, isn't it? We need to take the opportunity to go ourselves, you know?
Yeah, but in his defence, lockdown has stopped that up until this week. You know, the shops weren't actually open for in-person.
A lot of them were click and collect, though.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah. It's like when I turn up to a takeaway shop on a Friday night and I'm surrounded by dudes with backpacks on, phones out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I've cut out the middleman. Here I am, picking my own up.
You know? So tight.
The new 104.1 Today FM.
I'm sick to death of the news and the language they use to try to scare the population.
Yes.
There's a bit of a storm happening around bloody the area.
Near Camden, more than a bit.
Oh, but it's a storm, mate. It's a natural event. Have a listen to how the Channel 9 News described it.
It came with little warning.
Started hailing, now it's everywhere.
Yeah.
The town of Thirlmere under attack.
It was under attack.
It wasn't the storm gods going, we're going to attack the town of Valmir. It was just a hail storm.
No, it was big.
China didn't organise it.
Don't know that.
It wasn't North Korea. It wasn't Kim Jong-il or whatever his name is.
Ill.
It was not an attack.
It was.
It wasn't malicious. Mm. The hail didn't have bad intentions.
Wow.
It was just cold and it decided to bloody drop, you know? Stop this rubbish about attacks.
It felt a bit apocalyptic to me.
It wasn't on purpose, mate.
In defence of journos and the news team, you try writing your 8,000th story on the same bloody thing every night for the news without exaggerating or using a bit of creative licence. Go on, try it.
It's like when they said that some sort of container bloody car thing, you remember it was the flood?
Yes. Yeah, the flood, yeah.
They said that it targeted.
It targeted the container.
It didn't target things, mate. It was floating down the river. It wasn't being driven by,
the hail's trying to fight back. This is why we're calling for more global warming.
The new 104.1 Today FM.
Thank you, Aaron Mullen. Shania Twain.
Aaron's theme song, possibly. Who knows?
How is that my theme song? Are you happy with that, aren't you?
No, I don't know. You were singing very loudly.
No, because it's a great song.
Yeah, it is a great song.
I sing other songs about death. It doesn't mean it's my theme song.
All right. We just spoke about the hailstorm, and Ed, you brought up the fact that the hail's trying to fight back with the global warming people who are, I don't know what side the hail's on, but the Nationals, they've announced something.
Yeah, the Nationals have opted to stay inside, quote, the tent and back Prime Minister Scott Morrison's net zero emissions target by 2050. Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce emerged for, how about this, a two-hour meeting with his colleagues on Sunday evening to announce the party's stance that they are going to stay on board.
I saw them emerge, actually. There was a vision. They were walking down the corridor. I don't know if you saw that, Aaron. And one thing I did notice about every single male member of the National Party.
Can I guess? Can I guess it?
Yes.
Wearing jeans.
Yeah, jeans. Yeah. Tucked in.
Yeah, tucked in white shirts.
Tucked in white shirt, no jacket. Mm. And all of them. Mm. All of them.
They look like a rural Backstreet Boys tribute act. Too many pies.
But all of them in very good paddocks. The whole lot of them.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Why are they insisting on the tuck when the belts are under such pressure?
Mate, the verandas over the tool sheds. Those tools aren't getting wet, mate.
The Today FM morning crew. Hughie, Ed and Aaron.
Yeah, every upbeat song is speaking to all our producers because the dating life of our radio show has kicked up to a level that I've never seen it before.
Well, on social media, it was hashtag let it rip Dom, which was in relation to Dominic Perrottet going, right, freedom. That's it, everyone's free. And safe to say that our lot have taken that with both hands.
And
we're excited about it. Let's go around the grounds.
Let's start with Mindy. Mindy, God, you look happy. What happened on the weekend?
I went on a lovely date with a gentleman and I got to meet his dog.
Where did you meet his dog, Mindy?
Oh, I went, well, his place, obviously, because his dog wasn't.
That's huge, though. To go on a first date and end up at the person's house is really, that's.
Yeah, well, I think that, I wanted to meet the dog, so that was good. But then we got pizza and I'm lactose and wheat intolerant, so I had to make a pretty swift exit.
Did you tell him that? You don't have to eat the pizza. He doesn't care whether you eat the pizza or not. You've got to be hungry.
You should have said something.
You just said you're gluten-free. You know?
Mind you, it is awkward in that situation, isn't it? You don't want to appear to be a toss-up.
I was in denial. I thought I could handle it.
And having said that, I mean, it still annoys me. My wife is a celiac because you've got
selfish.
Those pizza bases just aren't.
They're not as good. We all know that.
But a bit of pash. Was there a passion dash, Mindy?
It was a pash.
Sound effect.
We actually all just clap Mindy's pass.
Yeah, yeah. Can't we?
I love it. No, it's great. But how are we going to lift it, Ed, for the next two?
What about Alex?
Well, I went on a great date on the weekend. It was date number six with this guy.
Oh, wow.
Six?
Yeah. Yeah, we're on.
That's good.
Anyway, so excited.
No, that's great. Over what period of time?
Oh, over a very long period of time, like 2 months, maybe.
Oh, so this is a guy who...
I was his single bubble, yeah.
The guy with the view of the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
But did he ghost you like last weekend?
He ghosted me last weekend and then he just sends me a message out of the blue this Saturday coming saying, oh, do you want to catch up? Like, let's go to the Dolphin. Let's get a drink.
The Dolphin.
that's fair enough.
You didn't want to punish him. You were just
what other option did I have?
But also, he was probably COVID positive last weekend, you know? So you have a week at home with the COVID and
have
you come out. You actually put a photo of what you were going to wear on our Signal chat group. And I think we all said, that's a very good outfit.
Looks great. Very nice.
Do you think it worked for you?
Yeah, it did. It had a little shear. It had a little shear situation up the top with like a bra sheer. That's like, oh, can you see it?
And it was sheer.
It was sheer.
Yeah, I mean, it was the type of photo that you didn't know how appropriate you could be by saying thumbs up. Do you know what I mean?
I did the heavy lifting in that one because I was able to comment.
Aaron pumped up my tyres. Yeah. It was great.
You looked amazing.
And Hughie, your eggplant was lovely.
No, I didn't. I think I did a love heart, did I? No. Whatever I did was just very minor. Now, Max, are we going to finish up with Max?
Yeah.
Maxie.
You know, it was a tale as old as time. Two gays at a pool party at the Ivy, both named Max, standing around in their Speedos. I met someone with the same name as me and it was just, it was explosive. Yeah, it was...
So how did it end, Max?
I'm very smiley today. I was really curious about. Curious about what it would be like to say things like, you know,
go Max.
Oh, Max.
Beautiful, man.
You know, you've loved yourself for a long time. So, and they say the greatest love of all is learning to love yourself. And yeah, no,
I love myself. I did. Good thing about meeting at a pool party in Speedos is
you already know.
We saw a photo of that pool party.
It was amazing. Wow.
That was unbelievable.
It was real.
It was unbelievable.
Well done, everyone.
What a lie. Yeah. What a lie.
You win.
Sydney's new 104.1 Today FM.
But the question is, are you happy or sad about the fact that all the kids are back to school? There's none left at home. Fingers crossed, unless they get COVID or someone at the school gets COVID.
You're right.
And I think we do have to get over the fact that someone at the school will have COVID. I'm not a health expert, as people quite pointing out to me.
I know.
I'm not an epidemiologist. I can say the word now, though, after 18 months. Epidemiologist.
Hey, just real quick, if you're a booking guest on a TV show, do us a favour. No more epidemiologists. Good luck to them, and they do a great job. I don't never want to see one ever again in my life.
But they're going
to
hang on.
No, thank you.
They're hanging on, mate.
Stop ringing up and going, there's something else happened. There's a new strain. Yeah, I don't know about your new strain.
Mate,
go home.
You know what? Some of them are...
Turn it off. Turn off the Zoom.
...daily telling people what they're having for dinner and, getting heaps of likes.
Not into it.
Because they're handsome doctors.
In their defense, it's a once-in-a-lifetime, maybe once-in-two-lifetimes event, something like COVID. Right. They're not going to get another opportunity in this lifetime.
The fact is, we love... everyone, and we love teachers in particular who've had my wife is a school teacher who's going back to school full time now. So
it also means that you're
footloose and fancy free.
Children are going, which is the bit you like.
Well, both her and the children go.
Even better.
So
fantastic.
Well, I am going to be at home,
pumped up.
So what's the equivalent of a tradie for you then? That's because you mentioned the mothers being excited about a tradie coming over.
What's the equivalent of a tradie for me? Just to be able to flick through my streaming services.
Yeah, yeah. In peace.
The thing about the streaming services, though, why do they want to remember what you've watched last?
I hate that.
Well, they want to remember what, what you're partway through watching. Do you want to continue watching? No, I don't. I want to erase this, and I don't want anyone to know that I've watched it.
They need a forget button.
Yes.
They need a private.
Is there an erase button on the streaming services?
They need a private browse. They've needed a private browse for a while.
Like, can you get porn on streaming services?
No.
Come on.
I'm not even.
What?
I don't do that.
But what do you need to hide then?
Hand on heart. I don't need to hide anything.
Exactly.
So what are you talking about? What do you need to erase then?
Nothing.
Well, maybe, Cate Blanchett in a movie.
That's true.
Cate Blanchett.
Yep.
Carol. Is it Carol? It is Carol.
It is Carol, yeah.
Carol. And it's a high art film.
Big time.
Absolutely. About her and her relationship with a...
A what?
The woman.
Why'd you yell it?
It was awkward.
Why is it awkward?
I don't know how we got here. What were we talking about?
We're asking parents to call us. 131060. The kids are going back to school. It's $100 gammy, chicken and beer on offer. All you got to do is have a feeling about it. A feeling. Much like Uzi when he stumbles across a film. You just need a feeling.
We'll talk to you next.
Uzi, Ed and Aaron, 104.1 Today FM.
You can talk to us about how sad you are about your children going to school and then straight to... Gammy chicken and beer. Open. Early openers?
I think they're open brunch/lunch.
But the one downstairs.
When's that open? 12? Okay, anyway, I have to check. Certainly open for lunch. And now Rachel from Plumpton. How many children are going back to school?
I've got 4 going back today. 2 have already gotten on the bus this morning.
Oh.
And I've got 2 more to go, and I'm so excited.
Oh, she's fired up.
Sweet relief for you. What are you going to do as soon as you close that car door or whatever and just drive off? Where are you going?
I'm coming home. I've already got my bottles lined up and my Coke on ice. I'm going to pour myself a nice Long Island iced tea and just kick back and relax. I think I deserve it.
A Long Island tea.
You're going to be giddy by 11 a.m. Do you reckon?
No. Oh, hopefully I remember to go pick them up.
Yeah. Can they get an Uber home or not?
Of course they can. They'll be sweet.
Couldn't they walk?
The older ones catch a bus anyway. The little ones are just around the corner. They can walk.
Yeah, they can walk. I know where it is. Absolutely.
Well done, Rachel. Heather from Belrose. How many kids are off to school?
4.
Oh, another fourer. Another four banger.
Yep.
Are you feeling, is it pure joy or is it mixed emotions for you?
It's mixed emotions. I'm happy that they're going back and I get my life back and things like that, but I'm sad because I'm going to miss their little faces around every day.
Oh, their little faces, oh, Heather.
Oh, their little faces.
How are they feeling? Do they want to go back to school or not?
Yeah, they do. They want to see their friends, but they will miss their PlayStation.
That's it. Can I say, it's been tough going being a parent where you've got to oversee their schoolwork. It isn't easy, is it? Because you've got to focus at certain times during the day, don't you, Heather?
Yeah, it's been very hard to oversee them all at the same time.
Yeah, so I think I've already said this, but I understand bosses bosses here, in fact.
Exactly.
Like when people used to be in our office and there'd be people in cubicles and you know there's a boss in a glass office somewhere who's meant to be, you know, overseeing what they're doing.
That's right.
You know, I was that guy at home with my three kids on iPads.
Yep.
And I also had no control over what was going on.
Not a single thought. Vicky from Mascot.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, we're okay, but you've got, how old is the child?
So I've got two. I've got a daughter who's 15 that I've dropped off, and I've just literally dropped off my baby.
Oh, goodness.
Sorry, I'm so emotional today.
Oh, no.
It's terrible. It's the first time I've got it on radio and I'm crying. I can't believe it.
When you say your baby.
I haven't even won $10 million. No, he's 11.
How old is your baby you've just dropped off?
He's not a baby. He's 11. And I'm so excited that they're back. I mean, I'm relieved as well because I've been working and trying to be a teacher. I take my hat off to teachers. Incredible. But also just really emotional. Like what the other mum just said, you know, missing their faces. I'm sorry, guys.
Sorry, Vicky. It's beautiful. You're a woman after my own heart. I cry after daycare. Yeah, I'm awful.
No, but it's the same.
I know.
But, I mean, he will be back this afternoon.
Oh, yes,
you know
Joy.
I mean?
Yeah, we get that. We're women.
Sydney's new 104.1 Today FM.
Okay, so story today. Remember we spoke to Jamie after some apparently some neighbours had objected to some trees.
A little bit of tree/weed removal.
Yeah, a lot of them were weeds. Right. And now there's a story about microbats. Apparently there's caves of microbats in the area as well. It's starting to feel like a bit of a campaign against our Jamie, who joins us on the line. Morning, mate.
Morning, guys. How are you?
What is going on?
Yeah. Are you a microbat killer?
Well, look, we do have a couple of little caves on our property, and most of them do on the escarpment around our area. I've been there for 5 years, and I certainly haven't seen any. In the ecology report, they said that it could be a home for bats, and we welcome the bats. Well, I would love for the bats to come and move into our cave. We're certainly not building there, so, you know, they're welcome. I embrace it.
So yeah, what's going on?
The bent-wing bats. Are you happy to have a bent-wing bat or a large-eared pied bat?
Probably sounds something like our little girl, Bo, who's squeaking in the background there.
She's piping in.
So, Jamie, what's going on then? Why is there now another headline basically having a dig at you, and particularly in a publication I think you work for as well, which is strange?
Yeah, I write for The Australian, strangely on architecture and gardens, but but look, it is what it is, I guess. There's some sort of campaign going on, and we've been working really closely with council. In fact, we've had 3 meetings with them to provide solutions for any of their concerns, and they've actually been great to work with. We've met with the biodiversity officer, we've met with arborists, and we've completely modified the plan and we're resubmitting it this week. So at the moment, there's no new news. The microbats were old news. That was there 2-3 weeks ago. But I guess for some reason, these things are bubbling up because there's must be some driver.
Something's going on.
But initially, you wanted to remove 17 trees. You reduced that. Isn't that right?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, and look, half of those were weeds. 5 were affected by termites. 2 or 3 of them had rot and dieback. One of them's almost completely fallen down. So, you know, what was lacking was the tree report initially, and that was essentially the key piece of evidence that these trees were suffering. And, you know, I'm a horticulturalist. I know what looks healthy and what looks sick. But also the arborist is the expert on this. And in his report, those trees were deemed to come down regardless of whether we build the house or not. And so the new plan only requires for 1 to 3 trees to be taken down for our entire build. It's certainly not 6 stories. It's a split level home, and you have to split level the home to get down the escarpment. Otherwise, you'd be digging to China and building an underground house.
Building on a cliff.
Then you might run into some bats.
And that's a whole nother environmental issue. Okay. So, you know,
do you get stink eye from neighbours when you drive past?
Not stink eye.
Do you get any stink eye?
No stink eye.
So, well, surprisingly, there are quite a few neighbours that are supportive of the project. We met with a couple of them yesterday and showed them the new plans, and they're loving it. So, you know, this is a little bit of, I guess, news madness about some of the people who can't really, don't really want change. And you know, I don't really want to live in a house that's been there for 70 years. No one's touched that block for 70 years. It's the oldest block on the street. So I'm well entitled to take down, you know.
Good luck, mate.
Oh, well, good luck.
Are we able to come over when it's all done, given we've been staunch supporters, Jamie? Like a barbecue, Aaron, or?
You know what? I would love you to come over. And by the way, thank you for those beautiful little baby products. You are a star.
Jamie, I love you. Can I get that audio, please, now? How's she going, Jamie?
She's going well. Look, she was going really well until last night, but last night she didn't get a whole lot of sleep, did she, darling?
No.
But she's bright-eyed and sparky this morning. Don't worry, she's squeaking like a bat.
She's beautiful. Lots of love. Bye, guys.
Yeah. Look, we will look forward to you meeting her.
Can't wait.
Good on you, mate.
See you, mate.
Everybody.
The Today FM Morning Crew.